Greetings, strangers. I am the lovely cocoa butter brown, smelling good, looking good, feeling good. Brit.
And I'm Jess D.
And welcome to another a bonus episode of
It's a Strange World After All.
The podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and all of the things that keep the world strange. However, for today's bonus episode, we are doing movie reviews of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre.
What are you looking at?
Oh, the TV. Because it's playing in the background. And I forgot that it was playing in the background. And I turned and got distracted.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, what is she looking at? So in the mining town of Harmony, it is the 10th anniversary of the Valentine's Night Massacre. As bodies start to pile up, the townspeople believe the person responsible for the massacre has come back seeking revenge against the townspeople. In today's episode, we discuss Patrick Lussier's My Bloody Valentine, which is a remake. Did you know that? I think the original was like in the 80s, I believe.
That I don't know. I knew it was a remake, but I don't know when the original
was. Oh, yeah, so it is, this is a remake. The film was released in 2009 and made $1.7 million at the box office. Did you go see this at the movies?
I did.
And it was in 3D.
It was in 3D. I do remember that. I feel like I thought I remembered going with someone from, like, some people from my college when I was in East Texas.
Yeah, I did not see this in theaters. I don't know why.
The 3D effect made it a little bit scarier, a little bit more scary.
Maybe I should have went to see it. Yeah,
I said little. It was like more startling, I guess, with like the axes. Yeah. When he throws axes at people and it hits them because it's coming out at you. The original came out in 1981.
I'm good.
Try to see if I could see it on something because... The original's on the Roku channel, if you have the Roku channel for free, and Pluto TV.
Pluto TV is kind of trash, though.
Oh, it's on there, though. And then this one we watched, the 2009 remake we watched on Tubi, which is also trash, but...
No.
Tubi's like an elevated ratchet.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like in terms of quality. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because Pluto, I make it through half of an episode or something and it just turns off every single time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Yeah. I thought you meant like quality of content.
Oh, no. Tubi is.
The streaming service.
Yeah.
She's like a bougie, like, I don't know, like, you know, like bougetto. Is that what they used to say? She's bougetto. She's wearing a nice lace front, but you can see the lace a little bit.
Yeah.
She's not all the way there.
Yeah. Thick eyelashes.
Yeah. The too big. Look like spiders. Yeah. Okay. We here. We on the same
like
page.
The ones women used to have on their car. You remember they used to put them on their headlights?
Yeah, oh my gosh. Girl, that's literally what it looks like.
Yeah.
Okay. We're here. We will be getting into it. D picked this, first of all.
I did not pick this.
I picked it.
Yeah.
You lied. We picked it together.
Yeah, we picked it together because we were like, it's February, Valentine's Day.
That's fine. We can. Yeah. We can sync we'll go together. With that. I just. Before we get into it, I want to say...
You already sound disappointed.
When I first watched it, it was giving I Know What You Did Last Summer. It was. And I was like, oh.
So...
I don't know.
With me, I guess because I've never seen the whole movie before. I've seen the beginning. So for me to sit down and watch it all the way through, it didn't do that for me. I was like, oh, it's not that bad.
Okay, look, so you sure you weren't biased? Wait, because the other day Tristan was like, wait, she was like, did you like Goosebumps, the remake Disney did? And I was like, I watched it. I mean, I didn't think it was bad. She was like, I hated it. Well, I mean, the kids that they picked, their acting was kind of questionable. But I was like, I'm not going to lie, I love Justin Long. So I don't know. Maybe I was biased because I love him.
Yeah.
But if I think about it as a whole, if I really think about it, I was like, she kind of right.
That's why I said I'm surprised I didn't go see it because of Jensen Ackles. Because I would have been on that. But, and I have on my Supernatural shirt. Is this him? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw. But let's not waste any time because we're trying to be professionals. And professionals have great time management. Oh, man. Well, spoiler alerts, obviously.
Oh, yeah. What?
That was my spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. You see? I was like, what does that have to do with
anything? Usually do it. It's because I missed. I usually do it when you announce the movie. Forgot to do my little
I mean, all of them are going to have spoiler alerts.
Oh, well, yeah. And I'm going to give that spoiler alert every single time. I don't care if it's, what's the first movie ever made? What's the little racist movie?
Birth of a Nation.
That's not the first movie ever made. Birth of a Nation. Even if it's Birth of a Nation, I'm going to say spoiler words and got trigger warning. Trigger warning. Man. People, especially black people. Yeah, this is Black Friday month, too.
It's what?
Yeah, Black History Month. Black Friday Month. Black History Month. This is why I don't want to put my lives. They could be like, take her card away. Take her black card away.
Oh, man. That's funny.
It is. Okay, for real. Okay, we're here. We're focused. I set the scene. We're in the movies. Boom, boom. We're wearing our 3D glasses. D, you can pretend you wore your 3D glasses.
Okay.
I just graduated. I'm feeling fine, you know? The movie starts.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. I had just fresh. That was my freshman year of college.
Mm.
Yeah. So the movie starts and there is a radio broadcast. There are police communications going back and forth. Through them, we learn that there has been a cave-in at the north side of the Haniger Mining Company, like one of their mines. Eventually, rescue teams come and they find six people in the shaft. Five of them are diggity diggity dead, son. I don't know why I said it like that.
This is Black History Month.
It's Black History Month. And then maybe my look is giving me like 80s, 90s feels. So I feel like, you know,
yes.
like you would see me skating down the street in the 80s, 90s. But they were like, oh, my gosh, there's five people dead. And one of them, Harry Warden, he's played by Richard John Walters, and he is in a coma. The media is in a frenzy. The local papers, they're harassing Harry verbally, and they are accusing him of going crazy and murdering the five other miners that were down there with him. And they're basically alleging that he did it in order to save himself, to save his own air supply. Exactly 1 year later, on Valentine's Day, we see Harry's brain. He's remembering the last few minutes before the mine collapsed. This consists of him telling Tom, and this is the first time we see the very lovely faced Jensen Ackles. He got a lovely kind of like raspy kind of the way he was talking, like, dude. It's nice.
And That was another thing, because I just kept thinking Dean Winchester, because it's the same voice.
It's the same voice, same look, same damn outfit, if you ask me.
Yep, same everything.
They knew what they were doing. They just wanted, like, us. They wanted, I think, like, fans to come to the movies, even though.
Yeah, because they did the same thing with Jared when he was in, like, one of the Halloween remakes.
Oh, yeah. He was.
And I feel like he was in something else.
He was in House of Wax.
House of Wax. Yeah.
Okay, I was like, I can never remember the year, though, because he looked really young in that. Again, since we kind of got off topic, this is Harry. He's remembering what happened before the cave collapsed. He sees Tom, aka Jensen Ackles, and Tom is the son of the boss. Harry's threatening him not to screw up. Something goes wrong, like, once he's down in the cave with the other miners and everything is collapsing around them. Tom barely makes it out alive. Suddenly, Harry wakes up and he's looking around and he's, you know, disoriented. A nurse comes into the room, and before she can even sound the alarm, she is murdered by Harry, which I don't understand why now he just woke up and he's just this murderer. Because I'm like, was he a murderer before? Or
I think maybe it has something to do with everybody accusing him. And he was just mad at everybody. One of those type of things.
Did he do it? He did it, though, didn't he? No.
Who knows?
We don't know. If it could have been them creatures from that one movie? Cave? What's that movie? Cave? Cliff? Cave? It's something about them ladies getting trapped in, like, a cave. And the whole movie is there's like a creature trying to find them. It's a horror film.
Not The Descent.
You know what I'm talking about? Maybe it is The Descent, D. But I just keep thinking Cave. Hold on. Oh, what if it is?
And it's crazy because I haven't even seen that. That's why I'm like, I don't even know if that's what you're talking about.
I've only seen a little bit of it. I didn't go to sleep. I think I just wasn't interested. And I was like, I think it's The Descendant. I think it is The Descendant, but my internet is being weird. But so I'm saying, yeah, it could have been like a creature, like a wraith. I don't know. We don't know. And like came through and you don't know. That could be a theory, conspiracy theory. Well, anyway, he wakes up and now he's suddenly a murderer, a mass murderer. And not long after, we see Sheriff Burke, played by Tom Atkins, and one of his deputies. They're looking at the scene of the massacre. They go into Harry's room and they see that he's missing. They also see a nurse with her heart removed and it's sitting on the counter. It's beneath a message that reads, "Happy Valentine's Day" in blood. And they figure Harry is heading to the mine for revenge. Sweet revenge.
So my issue is they're going to go after him or whatever. But did you notice that all of the cops were old? Like, y'all don't have younger,
more cops fit in the town?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, because they were the same from then and like the present, right?
Yes.
Okay. When I first started watching it, and I said it was Monday, it was the day I was like, I'm sorry, D, I didn't retain any of that. I didn't even realize that they had flashed back because they were old. And I was like,
yeah,
cops is old. You know, not to keep up the reputation, because we do love old people.
Oh, yeah, we do. We do. Me especially.
He's a little. Go ahead. Milk it.
Okay. So at the mine, there is a senior party. So this is where we see Axel, and he's played by Kerr Smith. I remember him. He was in Charmed for a few episodes. He was one of Paige's boyfriends.
Well, yeah. His little cute little self. He look cute.
So we meet him and we meet his girlfriend, Irene, played by Betsy Rue. Then we meet Sarah, played by Jamie King, and she arrives with her boyfriend, Tom. Jamie King, that's the lady. Oh, no, that's her sister.
Who?
Hold on. I'm trying to think of
the same people. I thought she was the one that was in White Chicks.
Hold on.
Wait. Yeah, no, for real. Is it White Chicks that I'm thinking of, or am I thinking of?
She is in White Chicks, but I'm not thinking of that. I'm talking about her.
Oh.
I'm thinking of somebody else.
Oh. I don't know. All I just kept going, that's that girl from White Chicks. But yeah, go ahead. Oh, wait. No, I had a note, didn't I?
Oh.
Axel was hating on Tom because he was like talking mess about him before he came. I was like, he's a hater. Which is crazy because he was just jealous. He was jealous that Tom was with Sarah, yet Irene was his whole girlfriend. That was his girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, why is she bringing him? I'd have been like, hold on. If I was Irene, hold on. Axel, what's the problem?
And that's why I was rooting for Tom. I was like, we were rooting for you.
We were rooting for you, Tom.
Oh, so like you just said, Axel was telling Irene that he didn't trust Tom. This is like whenever going into the mine. And so Tom goes back to the car and Sarah goes in after Axel and Irene. And she's talking to this kid named Jason. And as she's talking to him, he gets hit with a pickaxe from behind.
Out of nowhere.
His eye popped.
It
reminded me, you remember that episode of The Walking Dead when she was talking to her girlfriend and they shot an arrow through her eye?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, that's
I was
what
like,
it reminds
what
me of. Yeah.
What the? It was more emotional in Walking Dead though because you had already established like a connection with that character. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But yeah, I was like, that's my one regret about not seeing it in 3D because I wonder how that would have looked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So Sarah, she starts running. This is when she's seeing like all the dead bodies. And so she's running and then she runs into Axel and Irene. And then I was like, how did he not see them? Maybe I don't know. Because it didn't look like they were hiding behind anything. They were behind a wall, but he walked past them.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I was like, if he would have just turned around.
Yeah, he could have seen them.
He could have saw them. Yeah. They're hiding, and then somebody else walks up, and he's like, hey, what?
Oh, yeah, because he was going to.
And then he did turn around.
He was going to give them up.
Yeah.
That's what it was, yeah.
So, yeah, then he gets killed, and then they're running and then they see Tom, but Tom trips. And then, of course, they leave him as they should. Not saying that. No, I probably would have left too.
I was going to say, you said what you said. Say it, stand 10 toes down on that. You said what you said. No, if you are in a pickle, a predicament, do not
Oh, ooh. Man, every man for theyself. So, so they make it to the car. Sarah, she's, you know, now she's trying to go back for Tom. And then Axel yanked her up and put her in the car. And then Harry throws a pickaxe. And that's enough. Yeah, if I could buy some 3D glasses, I would probably watch it at home.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that also being a 3D moment.
Yeah, when it went through the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're backing out. They leave. And then that's when the police arrive with they old. Never mind. They get there. And they make it just in time before Harry kills Tom. They shoot him. We assume that he's dead, right?
Well, no.
They shot at him. They didn't shoot him.
Yeah, and then he runs away.
Yeah, and then they tried to chase him, but they probably was tired. So they were like, oh
my gosh.
That's all I said. I mean, but then he would have been like a little bit younger than them, Harry.
Yeah.
Y'all let him outrun y'all, and he just got out of a coma.
He did just get out of a coma, though.
He should have been at least a little delirious. And he out here killing folks.
He's out here killing folks, and that is how it ends. So I think it was kind of supposed to leave it up, kind of like, well, what happened?
Yeah.
I thought that's what I. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're fast forwarding 10 years later. We enter in on a now a sheriff, Axel. He's older. He's a sheriff. And he's having lunch in a diner while watching an interview of himself on TV. And they're talking about the 10-year anniversary of the Valentine's Day massacre, is what they call the incident that happened with Harry. Axel, he gets a call from his wife. And we find out that his wife, child, is Sarah, girl. I don't know how he got Sarah. They probably trauma bonded. A little later, we see Axel. He pulled up to his dad's cabin. And we find out that Axel is an adulterer. He's a cheater. And you meet Sarah's coworker, Megan, played by Megan Boone. And she's a homewrecker. And you find out that they are having sex, they're having an affair, and she gives him a box of Valentine's chocolates with a note that says, "Be mine forever." But I don't know how that's going to work because he's married. So, not far away, we see Tom. He has returned, first of all, y'all, and he's looking out over the mine. He's watching the workers. That night, he goes over to Ben's house, and Ben is basically trying to convince Tom not to sell, like that his dad would be disappointed in him for selling the mine. But Tom's like, I don't care. I do not care. I just want to deal with this and get it over with. And he just wants to get out of town. He's like, I don't want to be in this town anymore.
Sounding like Dean Winchester.
Yeah, sounding just like Dean Winchester. So Tom, he checks in to a room at the motel, and we meet the hotel manager, who just happens to be a little person. She just so happens to be a little person. He also inadvertently passes a room where, if you guys remember, Irene, Axel's girlfriend back in the day before, you know, him and Sarah got together. She is stock book bald naked. And she is bumping uglies, y'all, with a trucker. And they is getting it in. I bet the neighbors know my name. My name. My
name. You are stupid.
After Irene and the trucker, you know, finished doing what they had to do, Irene still completely naked. She was just naked. I said, I wonder, like, when they told her, like, bro, you literally just gonna be naked. Like, you gonna have clothes on. The young you will have on clothes. But, like, after that, you just naked. Like, I wonder how much she got paid to just be naked.
Man. You know what? I've always wondered that, because that would take some money.
If I'm showing skin, yeah. I would need a little extra coin.
And that was everything. Not just, it was everything.
But ball from the, what old people say, from the rooter to the tooter. She was naked.
And then when you texted me, you was like, I couldn't get past the naked lady.
I was so distracted, because I was like, she's just finna be here naked the whole time. She would have walked outside. Let's get into it. She don't walk out. She's naked for too long. It was unnecessary.
Yeah. That was a long time, now that I think about it.
Yes. Yeah. Not unless they're kind of like paying homage to like the film, like a 1980s film. Because usually in 1980s horror films, they do have to have some titties or just like a naked lady for no reason. Or, you know, somebody dies naked. So maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. Still naked. She starts talking about like Valentine's Day and like where it comes from and the Romans and stuff about some sex slaves and some stuff like that. Frank, the trucker, does not care. And he's getting his things together because he's like, I got to get out of here because it's Valentine's Day. So it's clear he's also an adulterer because what you getting back to, sir? She notices he has a camera and she's like, oh, no, I know you did not. And I said, oh, no, I know he did not record without her consent. And basically, Irene confronts him and is like, bro, you're not going anywhere with that. You need to give it to me. The tape. You need to give me the tape. And pause. He throws money at her, calls her a whore, and then walks out of the room. Still naked. She goes to get a gun from under the sink and still naked. She runs outside in her little cha-cha heels. So she's naked in her cha-cha heels. And she is like, Frank, you're going to give me this motherfucking tape. And Frank is like, girl, you better go somewhere. There's not even bullets in there. And she's like, dang. And so she throws in him squaring his ugly face, squaring his mug.
She got some good aim.
She was like right in the...
Yes.
And then as soon as he goes to open the truck door, he is pickaxed by a guy in a miner's outfit. Irene screams. She's like, oh my gosh, she probably thinking I probably should have stayed inside instead of standing out here butt bald naked in my cha-cha heels. And she runs off. She goes into the office because she's looking for a phone to call someone. She does get through to the cops, so they know somebody needs help. And then she goes to hide in the manager's room. She gets under the bed, still naked. She's still naked because, you know, we don't have time now. We're fighting for our lives. And she makes it just as the miner is in the room. He doesn't see her and he's about to leave. But then the dang manager, who just so happens to be a little person, she starts calling for her pug dog. And he hides in the closet, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. So she comes in. She's looking for the dog. She ends up opening the closet door. He sees her. He pickaxes down half of her body and then sloops her up into the overhead lights. It was pretty cool. I feel like I do vaguely remember that in 3D and thinking, oh, that is pretty cool. Like the effects are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do her like that, though. She didn't have nothing to do with any of this.
She didn't. He really didn't have to do her like that. But maybe it was her voice. Yeah. He was like, oh my gosh. I don't like it.
Maybe because she found him. Maybe that's what it was. Because he was in the closet.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Probably. And he's just probably just crazy. Just crazed. Because that man didn't have nothing to do with Irene. Technically, if you're... I don't know. He's just a mass murderer. Yeah. He's just killing everybody. Hide your kids. Hide your husband. Hide your wife. Okay. So the manager, who just so happens to be a little person, she's out of there. Irene lets out a squeal and she couldn't hold it in, y'all. She was gobsmacked. So she could not even hold in her scream. And she is discovered. He gets her and she is pickaxed through the stomach multiple times.
So Axel and the cops show up and he has the deputies, Martin, played by Eddie Gathegi, and Ferris, played by Karen Baum.
If we're pronouncing it wrong, we apologize.
Yeah, we apologize. So they're looking at the bodies and they notice that Irene's heart is missing. And so they check the guest log and they find none other than Tom. His name is on there, full name. And he was the last person that registered for a room. So the next day, Axel, he gets a Valentine from a secret admirer and he opens it up and it is Irene's heart.
Oh my God.
What I didn't understand, like the woman that gave it to him, she was like, oh, you have a Valentine, but how did the blood not get on her hand? As soon as he touched it, he had blood.
I didn't notice. Yeah. I'm not even going to lie. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, because she was just like, she just handed it to him. Like, oh, you have a Valentine. And then when he grabbed it, he had blood on his hands.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it's not a big deal, but I just noticed that. Yeah. So meanwhile, Sarah is working at the store and Tom shows up. She's just telling him like she wasn't okay with how it ended because he just up and left. Left for 10 years. Nobody knew if he was even alive. So he just went ghost. Later that night, Tom got in a bar fight. They was, as soon as he walked in there, they was waiting on him at the door. So
They
jumped it like you let these. And then again, it's all these old men. So y'all jump him, but y'all couldn't stop Harry the first time.
I said that old man that attacked him had the nerve because as slow as he was moving, when he threw his punch, he was like this. He was like, you get out of here. He was drunk too. He was, why? You are too old for that, sir. And look at him. Look at Tom and then look at you.
Yeah.
Care.
They basically think he's the one who's committing the murders and then they tell him to leave after they just jumped him. So we go to Sarah and she's putting her and Tom's son Noah to bed. She hears Axel watching the tape from the hotel, Irene and the trucker.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that was a little weird to me. I get that it's evidence, but he was just a little weird to me.
It was weird.
Yeah. And so he tells her, you know, what happened. And then he's telling her that Tom is a suspect and that some people are saying that Harry is back from the dead. And then that's when she's telling him, oh, well, I talked to Tom earlier. And he's telling her, don't trust him, telling her he's dangerous. Just let him know if Tom tries to get in contact with her again.
Because he's dangerous. The next morning, Tom, he heads back up to the mine. He's determined to talk to Ben. He tells him, actually, I'm not going to sell. I am going to stay. Ben is in another tunnel. And so Tom, he suits up to go out there. And a guy named Red takes him out there. They stop and then Red rings the tunnel three. And then Tom is heading towards the door. But then all of a sudden, something shoves him in there. And he turns and he sees the miner. The miner gestures with his pickaxe for him to be quiet. And then he stuffs him back into the fence area and locks him in there. Why he didn't kill him, I don't know. The miner turns and then heads for Red. He sees him and tries to fight him off. And the other miners can hear him, his struggle over the phone. The miner ultimately is able to kill him. He drives a pickaxe through Red's forehead. He's attempting to take out his heart. He soon gets interrupted by miners who approach the scene and he runs off. So after he runs off, the other miners are livid. They think that it's Tom's doing, that Tom was the one that killed Red. And they see that he's somehow stuck behind the fence. They unlock the fence and then get him out of there. And he's taken to the hospital where he gets stitched up. And he's telling Axel what happened because Axel comes to do an investigation. Axel is still like, nah, I don't trust it. I don't trust you. because he knows that Harry Warden is truly dead. So Axel's like, I don't trust what you're saying. Ben, who is stuck in Tunnel 3, he arrives to the hospital, and Axel ends up revealing that he knows what the sheriff and the other men in the town did with Harry. Not long after that, Axel, Sarah, Martin, Tom, and Ben and Burke, they're hiking through the woods, and because they're going to go to where Harry's buried. Burke then tells them that a bunch of people got together after the Valentine's Day massacre 10 years ago, tracked down Harry, trapped him in the mine. They shot him several times and then gave him a burial in the woods. So Burke is like, he's definitely dead. There's no way this could be Harry. They get to an exit at one of the tunnels, which Ben and Burke identify as the site where it happened. Well, I'm sorry, the site where he was buried. And you can see that the site has already been dug up. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. That's what got me. Because the whole time I was going back and forth and I was like, well, he couldn't have did it because he was locked in the little thing. So that's when I was like, okay, yeah, it's not him. That's when I made my mind up. I was like, it's not him.
Okay, see, I obviously already knew because I saw it when it was released, but I was trying to remember. I don't remember. The whole time I was watching it, though, I just kept thinking, it's clear who it is. It's crystal clear it is who it is, but I already knew who it was, so I don't know.
That's what I thought, though. I was like, okay, I know who it is, but then when that happened, I was like, well, eh.
Okay, maybe. Maybe I had that.
But then they could have been lying, though, because nobody saw it.
They could have been lying, but then when they took him to the gravesite and it was like, oh, but it was dug up, so they could have been lying. But why would there just be a, like, where he said they buried him and now it's dug up?
Well, yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
I don't know. It's confusing.
So at the police station, Axel is interrogating Tom, but Tom is like, this is my story and I'm sticking to it. I didn't do this. I was fighting for my life. Axel, he gets mad and he's throwing stuff around. Martin breaks it up and Tom is let go. So yeah, they make vows and they're saying that they will find whoever this is. That night, Tom is just hanging around the mines. He sees the miner watching him from the forest. He's running from him, right? Yeah, he ends up at Axel's cabin. You know, he's in the cabin looking around. And then we go to Ben, who's at home and he's drinking. He's a little drunk. He's playing around with a shotgun. So somebody knocked on the door and he's saying, who is it? But nobody answers. So he gets up and he loads the shotgun and he's looking around outside and he doesn't see anything. So he goes back inside. Soon as he unloads his gun, that's when the miner shows up. He steps out from the shadows and Ben turns around. He gets the shotgun up, but the shotgun is knocked away and he swings the pickaxe again. But Ben, drunk and all, rolls off. Well, he didn't roll off, but he dodged it and the axe went into the floor. But Harry manages to get his hands around Ben and he drives his head into the axe.
He literally drove his head into the axe.
He was struggling a little bit. Now, you know what? Because I was making fun of them for being old, but like some of them are pretty strong.
Some of them.
Because I mean, he put up a good fight.
Some of them in the movie or some of them?
In the movie.
Who is them? Oh, okay.
In the movie.
Yeah, they did put up a fight.
Yeah, because I was like, he held out for a long time. So, and he was drunk, so.
That's probably why he was strong.
So, yeah, it goes back to Axel at the police station. He gets a call saying that Ben is dead.
And meanwhile, Megan and Sarah, well, homewrecker Megan and Sarah, backstabbing biatch homewrecker Megan. Let's talk about that.
And then she was asking her all them questions. I was like, that's when she should have knew.
Like, why are you so invested in him?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So, okay, she and Sarah are trying to close up the grocery store and they hear a noise up at the front. Megan's like, I locked the door. I don't know. I locked the door. They both go together to check to see what is going on. They hear another sound that's coming from the back of the store. So they're like, what is going on? So they're together looking up different aisles. And there's a scene where they just barely miss seeing Harry in like the background. They ultimately are like, well, let's just, we can cover more ground. So they end up splitting up. Sarah, she goes up the freezer aisle and she is attacked by, I'm gonna start calling him Harry slash the miner, because in their mind, they're like, this could be Harry.
Yeah.
So she's attacked by Harry slash miner. They get into like a little bit of a tussle. Every time I say tussle, no, I'm gonna focus. Because you know what I think. Every time I say tussle, you already know what I'm thinking.
I don't. You're talking about the song?
Tussle, I'm a tussle, I'm a tussle. Yeah. I'm too so bad too. Tell me you're from Dallas without telling me you. I'm a tussle. Yeah.
That's funny.
They get into a scuffle. Sarah is attacked by Harry. He ends up putting his axe through one of the freezers. He misses her. She hits him with a leg of lamb, honey. She put her body into that. He kind of like subdues him for a little bit, but he's still chasing them. Megan ends up distracting him, attacking him with a mop. They're able to get away and they get into the office. They are still being chased by Harry the Miner. He ends up, he put his axe through the door. Also like another 3D moment.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, Lord. Sarah's like, girl, we got to start putting things up against the door. So they're putting things up against the door. She's like, let's go out the window. So Megan is trying to unlock a screen that's on the window so they can escape through. While she's doing that, Sarah calls the cops and she's like, Lord, are you the maid? Are you the maid? We need some help, some assistance. She
said, what?
Ayúdame, I need some help.
We is that how you talk? You speak in Spanish? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Help me in Espanol. Ayúdame. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ayúdame. Duolingo, thank you. She says, we need help. And Megan, she gets the screen off the window enough and starts making her way out. Sarah notices, wait a minute, it gets a little bit too quiet. And so she realizes that Harry is gone. Harry the Miner is gone. And Sarah's like, girl, you got to get back in here. You got to get back in here. She's like, come on, get in. As she's trying to pull her in, she gets caught. She gets caught by him and his axe, old boy and his axe. And Sarah, she escapes from the office. She goes outside and she runs into Axel. They get out of the store and then they head around the corner and they find Megan's a deceased body, lifeless body. She's laid out. Her heart is missing and the words, be mine forever, in blood are above her body. And I just said, in my opinion, that entire grocery store scene had me stressed out because.
I know.
It was a lot of back and forth.
It was.
And that window scene, because I was like, oh, they might make it. And then it got quiet and I was like, Lord, gee. Well, no, I feel like I realized that it was quiet before Sarah realized it was quiet. And I was like, girl, Sarah is quiet. You better tell her to come back in there. And then it wasn't enough time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for me one of the better scenes in the movie for me outside of the bar fight.
Oh,
because that. After they find Megan's body a little later, Sarah is being treated by an ambulance and she's about to be taken to the hospital. And she tells Axel, like, bro, I know that I'm not stupid. I know that you and Megan, she knows that they were in cahoots. They were having an affair. They were bumping ugly. She knows.
Okay, so now we are back at the Palmer household with Noah. That's their son. He's watching cartoons and Nora is doing the laundry. Harry the Miner sneaks up behind Nora and Nora is out of there. So outside, Deputy Ferris is in her car sleeping on the job when Burke knocks on her window and is like, Harry's inside, we gotta go inside. And then I was like, she didn't even want to go in there. Like, why are you a cop?
She was so nervous. She was like, I didn't think this small town that we were gonna be doing this here.
It's not what I signed up for. She goes in there first and she sees Noah and he's hiding behind the couch. And Nora was in the washing machine. Outside, Bert, he's on the porch and he gets axed. So he's gone.
Lord, Bert, Lord.
And then it's crazy how the woman was the youngest cop they had.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Sarah's at the hospital. You know, she's getting taken care of. She gets a phone call. It's Tom, and he's telling her not to trust Axel, and he found something that he needed to show her. So he picks her up from the hospital at the same time that Axel gets a call from Martin, and it's about something about Tom. This is where I was like, ugh, who is it?
Who is it? Who done it?
Yeah. Tom is driving Sarah up to the mines, and he's like telling her, like, it's Axel. He's the one that's doing this. And as he's trying to tell her, Axel calls her and he's telling her not to answer. But of course she does. I mean, it's her husband. Axel tells her that Martin found out that Tom was in a mental institution for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He tells her, you know, try to get away from him and to call him. And then they hang up. So she's telling Tom to turn around and take her home. But he's telling her no, so she grabbed the wheel. They have this big wreck. The car overturns, and it hits a tree, and Tom is knocked out. And Sarah gets away. She calls Axel. He tells her to go to his dad's old cabin. When she gets to the cabin, she finds about 300 heart-shaped candy boxes. This is when she is attacked by the miner, and she runs for her life. So she runs to the front door, but she couldn't get it open. So she jumped out of a second story window and runs to the mine.
I will give Sarah props, though, because she was fighting for her life. Because, I mean, she it's was. Him or me. I ain't worried about breaking nothing. It's either break something or die. We're jumping out of a window.
How she didn't break anything.
Probably was running on adrenaline. And then it was because her stunt double no one knew how to fail. It's because she fell out the window. And then she didn't like go straight out of a two-story window. She went out of a two-story window onto a roof and like rolled on. So it wasn't even like the fall itself didn't even happen from the second floor. It was like a little bit lower than the second floor. So, and she fell on like a pile of leaves. She got it. And her adrenaline, she might have broken something, but you know what? The adrenaline will take you a long way. You could get shot, and I know you've gotten shot and because of
adrenaline. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, let's bring her home. At the mine, back at the mine, Sarah runs into a wide open, what we believe to be Tunnel 5 entrance, and heads into a locker room where she quickly is lost among the maze of miner outfits. They're falling around her. Harry, or the miner, or Tom, we believe, shows up and starts hacking through the miner suits. Sarah, she goes out of the other end of the tunnel into the mine proper. She runs throughout the tunnels and runs into Axel. She steals his gun because I think she kind of like, you know, I don't even know at this point who to trust, and tells him about the boxes. At first, he thinks that she's just talking about the one from Megan. Oh, it's because she saw those boxes. That was what he wanted her to see. Gotcha. That was what Tom wanted her to see. And she's like, oh my God. Okay, he's a cheater, so he could be. I mean, if you're cheating, you could be a murderer, you know? Is what she's thinking. That's what she's thinking. He's thinking, oh, okay, the one I'm from Megan, so I'm confused. And then she's like, no, there were 300. Then Tom approaches out of the side of the tunnel and she's like, you know, I don't know who. She's pointing him at him. She's pointing him at Tom. She doesn't know what to do. And Tom and Axel are just like, look, he's the killer. And no, he's the killer. And she's like, I don't know what to do. And then Axel finally is just like, you know what? Just shoot both of us. And I was like, come on, biblical reference.
Yeah, that's what I would have did.
Oh, you would have shot both of them?
Yeah.
You're terrible.
I'm not taking no chances.
Because of the little Bible, from the little Bible. I'm not saying little Bible. Look at your little Bible. That's not what I meant. Because of that verse in the Bible, it automatically makes me think, oh, then you are who you say you are. Because if you weren't, like, why would I be like,
he could have known that,
and
he could have did that on purpose.
Nah. Obviously, Axel didn't do it. But either way, she says shoots both of us. The thought does go through her mind. She's like, well, actually, maybe I can shoot both of them, because he is saying shoot both of us. And then Tom is like, wait a second. I can prove it. Like, remember the Be Mine Forever message that was over Megan's body? It's the same message as what she wrote to Axel. Sarah, she kind of was like taking it back, and she's like, how do you even know about that, huh, Tom Thomas? And she's like, I didn't tell you that. And before he can answer, the audience sees Harry the Miner. He's behind Sarah, and Tom is like, look, girl, I'm trying to help you. He's about to kill you. And she doesn't believe him. Tom is like, no, for real, for real. And then Harry the Miner walks through her like a ghost and kind of like goes into Tom. And she's like, Harry is not here. And Axel realizes, I think everybody realizes, he is there. Harry is there, but he is inside Thomas. Yeah, that call was coming from inside the house, y'all. That call was coming from inside the house. It has been Thomas all along.
And see, that I didn't see coming. Oh, I didn't? No. Because at this point, I thought it was Axel, because I was like, it couldn't have been Tom. I kept going back to when they were in the mines and he was locked in that cage. Oh, so I was like, it couldn't have been Tom. That's impossible. But then, yeah.
Okay, so it was kind of like a, wow, who'd have thunk moment for you.
Yeah, because when they were showing like the flashbacks and stuff, they showed how he killed him and then locked himself in the cage.
What Dee was saying, we see now like a little montage that show Tom digging up Harry's body, taking the outfit and the gear. He's doing the killings and attacking Irene. You see like Harry in the mirror, but if it's really Tom. Axel like addresses Tom as Harry, and then Tom is like, yeah, that's right. They get into a scuffle. They're struggling. Axel gets a pickaxe. Harry/Tom ends up striking Axel with the pickaxe through his stomach. Sarah knocks Tom into some old crates, and she gets Axel, and like they start running. They end up hiding in like a corner, almost reminiscent of what they did 10 years prior on the Valentine's Day massacre. Tom goes after them. Axel ends up giving Sarah his gun. It just has one bullet. It's got one bullet. And he tells her, do not miss. You take a shot and you do not miss. She waits until Tom is right by some gas tanks, and then she shoots that one bullet. The bullet hits the target and then goes through Tom on the process, hitting the tanks and then making them explode, and the walls in the cave collapse.
Then we see a bunch of miners, and they're like looking through the rubble to see if there's any survivors. And one guy, he thinks he sees something and he goes to check it out, and he starts talking to the victim he found, and it's Tom.
Lord.
Good old Tom.
Good old Tom.
And then he picks up an axe and drives it through the guy's skull.
Lord Jesus. Talk about somebody that really didn't even deserve it. Because
he was just trying to help. Yeah. This is what makes me think that maybe there is something supernatural about it. No pun intended. That maybe Harry's like spirit is actually, maybe he's possessed.
Yeah,
Because how do you survive that?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, it's not impossible, but it's an explosion. You got shot and you got blew. I was going to say got blew up, got blown up.
Got blewed up. Oh, I thought you were going to say blewed up. They blewed you up.
So we see Sarah and Axel outside, and Axel's on a stretcher, and they tell each other they love each other as Martin approaches, and he's asking them, you know, what happened to Tom? And they tell him Tom is dead. So as the ambulance drives away, the rescue team comes out, and they all start to go their separate ways. And one of them looks at the top of the hill, and he takes off his mask, and he looks around, and it is Tom. And then he just walks off into the forest.
Dun, 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 dun.
I feel like they did that because I want to say there was supposed to be a sequel, but I don't know what happened.
I know what happened. No, I'm just playing.
I can't hear you.
I said, I know what happened is what I said.
What happened?
But I was just kidding. That's probably the ratings. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And probably Supernatural, too, because I feel like, well, they could have got somebody else to play him, though.
Yeah, they could have. Well, the final thoughts and movie ratings. Go ahead. You go first.
I didn't look at any ratings, but I do remember people saying that how bad it was. So that's one thing I do remember. But to me, and it could just be because I'm a little biased, it wasn't that bad. Is it something that I would just watch? No. But I just went into it like expecting not to like it because of what everybody else was saying. So it wasn't too bad. There were some memorable scenes.
Yeah.
So my rating, I give it a 2.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah, it wasn't the worst. My Bloody Valentine 2009 was not the worst movie that I've seen. It definitely was not the best. Like I said, it was given a little bit of I Know What You Did Last Summer vibes, but it was better than that. Like if somebody was like, pick one to watch, I'd probably be like, I'll watch My Bloody Valentine. But it's something I don't know that I would turn to watch it. I think if it was on though and I'm cleaning or like, you know, multitasking, I would leave it on. I wouldn't like be like, I gotta turn this. So Jensen Ackles, he gets a 1-star by himself. And then I don't know, the scene, the supermarket scene, I don't know, that was like one of my favorite scenes for whatever reason, and I liked that scene. So I'm gonna have to give that thing, I'll give it a 2. I didn't want to give it a 2 because you gave it a 2. But before we were coming into this, I was thinking of giving it a 2 or like a 2.1. But then when you said a 2, I was going to give it like a 1.9 just so I wasn't higher than yours. But I give it a 2. I'll give it a 2.2.
There we go.
There we go. So IMDb, they have a 10 ranking scale. They have a 5.4 out of 10 on IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes is by the percent. They gave it a 62%. Metacritic gives it a 51%. Google, which is definitely a popular rating, gives it a 4.1 out of 5 and 71 ratings. Somebody gave it 5 stars. They about to stop. Somebody said, My Bloody Valentine is by far the most decent slasher film that I've seen so far in general.
How you gonna call it decent? And then because to me decent is not, yeah,
decent is like a 2. Decent is like straight.
Yeah.
But but that is all, folks.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. Please and thank you.
If you have any movies or documentaries of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre and want to hear our uncensored, unsolicited opinions on them, please email those submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms mentioned.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of It's a strange world after all.
And thank you, as always, for keeping it strange with us. We'll see you guys later. Skater.
I can't even say it. Thank you.
Bye.